Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Hey, Happy New Year. Glad you are here joining us as we kick off the first of the year's radio program here at Hanson McLean. And
yes,
it is, you know, the first of the year is always a great time to get your finances in order.
And your life, really, quite frankly. You've got like a couple of weeks where you actually can really concentrate before you totally just throw in the towel.
Gym memberships, the gym's crowded.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure things like Weight Watchers goes up.
Yeah, New Year's
smoking
resolutions.
Cessation probably.
Well, actually, big. Look at, we have more appointments in the first quarter of the year. We have more appointments with new people looking to use Hanson McLean as their advisor in the first month of the year than any other month of the year.
I think you're right, yeah. It's because, well, it's kind of normal.
It's normal. It's so human nature.
We're going to talk during this program on some of the things you should be looking out for in your own finances to get you on a solid footing. Maybe you're on a solid footing already, but even to help you further along there. And, of course, we'll take some calls as we go through the program. So if you'd like to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, our contact number is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. So again, as we go through the program, we'll talk about some things to be focusing on for the new year, kind of new year financial resolutions.
And just easy things to help get your life back in order.
It, you know, it's it doesn't have to be that complicated.
They're easy.
And the thing, I've been doing this for almost three decades now. And over that time... I've just noticed that I've seen couples come in with essentially the same exact salary over the years.
Yes.
In completely different situations financially.
Yeah. Essentially, it was how they actually consumed and saved that made all the difference in the world.
I've seen people with very modest incomes come into retirement with great retirement savings, home paid off. I've seen people with phenomenal incomes come to us at retirement, and you're thinking, how is it over 30 years you haven't even been able to save 1 year's worth of salary?
Big hat, no cattle, oftentimes.
Yeah. So we'll talk about some of those basic steps you can take to get you in the right place. And again, 1-888-2-HANSON to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We're starting in the East Bay of the Bay Area with Daniel. Daniel, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, Daniel. How can we help you?
So I have a question about a couple. I'm actually 36 years old, and I'm trying to plan for, I guess, a better financial setup for the near future, you know, maybe 5 years out. And I had a couple of scenarios that I wanted to go over with you guys and see which one would probably be the better of the two.
What's happening in five? So you say 5 years. What's happening in 5 years when you're
41? Yeah. That is driving the decision making for 5 years. How'd the timeline of 5 years come up?
It was just kind of arbitrary. I'm just looking to really set myself up to where, you know, I'm just more financially stable. You know, that I just have a little bit more. I want to really get into real estate is really my short-term goal.
Okay, fire away. What's your scenario for us?
Okay, so I'm in a loan right now for my property that I currently reside in Contra Costa County. I have a $250,000 debt on that loan. The property is worth right around $550,000. So what I wanted to do is either rent my property out for the time being. I would actually vacate the premises. I can get $2,500 a month rent for the place. The one that I was more leaning on was to sell the property and use the equity to buy an apartment complex out of state. I haven't been really happy with the taxes and all that stuff in California, so I've been contemplating, using the equity to purchase an out-of-state property and start making rental income that way.
Are you living in this property now?
I am, but I have a family member who has an in-law unit that they currently want to rent for really cheap, want some extra money, and it's kind of an opportunity for me to capitalize on the property I own right now.
Well, clearly, the least amount you can spend on yourself, whether it's where your home or your automobile or your lifestyle, the least you spend on yourself, the more dollars you can accumulate over the long term, obviously, right? That's just kind of basic.
So Daniel, I'm going to make a couple assumptions. I'm going to assume that you are single and you have no children. Is that correct?
No, that's actually incorrect. I am married and I have three children.
And your wife is going to go along with the scenario that you're going to move into.
Yeah, she's had some pushback, but she likes the idea that I pitched her to kind of set us up for purchasing a second home in a couple years if we were to invest our money into something else and we can save up and then buy a second home and now have a rental property.
Okay.
And what's your annual income ballpark?
About 60,000, I would say.
And does your wife work outside of the home?
No, she's actually a stay-at-home parent right now going through some college.
Do you plan on staying in California?
Yes, for the in-law unit that we would be renting is here in California.
I got to tell you, I don't like any of these ideas.
Okay.
I just don't like them.
I mean, the challenge is, let's say you sold your house today, you bought some investment property out of state, and you had some real issues with that investment property. Can happen.
Let's say that you have tenants that decide that they're not only not going to pay, but they're going to trash the place. Because what you're talking about is taking $300,000 in rollover equity, actually less than that, about $250,000 in rollover equity after you sell your home, minus the fees associated with that, and buying an apartment complex. So when I think of an apartment complex and financing of that, you're going to end up buying yourself probably around a $750,000 apartment complex. If you could qualify. Why wouldn't you qualify? Well, your income's $50,000 to $60,000 a year. At $250,000 down, that'd be a third down. You might be able to get financing for another $500,000, but it's highly unlikely. Depending upon your credit, you may get it. Let's say you do. It's a $750,000 apartment. You're not going to get the nicest apartment. It is going to be a little rough.
And apartments are so high in price right now.
Because the people are reaching for yields. It doesn't even matter where you're at. So I
know a gentleman who runs a property management company for apartments. He's one of the largest ones, well, clearly in Northern California, but he's got so many employees. He's a very large. And I was talking with him. This was several months ago. And he was talking about, but the cap rates are so high right now. And so I was talking to him about, and he's like, he just thought the cap rates come up with the price of them, just so high. He thought it seemed a little crazy.
The cap rates, the prices are high, cap rates are low.
He spent 40 years, I'm sorry, cap rates are low. He spent the last 40 years in the apartment management business.
Yeah, so prices are high and yields are low, which means the cap rates are low. So I think about you, Daniel, as a person, right? As a father, goes to work every day, three children, and this reach for some goal and taking what is a house that you live now with your three children and moving into an in-law quarter from a family member that in and of itself has a whole different set of dynamics around the family. And then buying an apartment complex, it just scares me. If you were single.
Yeah.
That's why I made the assumption that you were single. And if your wife is pushing back, God bless her. I mean, she's probably right.
And most...
May I add, so I found a couple of different apartment complexes out of state, some in Nevada, I believe the other ones were in Idaho, that had like three-unit plexes that were actually, their purchase price was right around $300,000 to $350,000, and their occupancy rate were 100%. They haven't had any issues with occupancy, and they were generating about $2,600 a month.
Each?
So that would be something that I could almost buy outright. And then just start making, you know, actual real money.
But then how do you get back into a house? So the risk you've got is, I mean, here's how you can blow yourself up financially, right? You sell your house, you buy this thing out of state. Maybe it doesn't work out quite like you planned. Maybe there's a fire. Maybe there's a flood. Maybe it's just a bad tenant.
Yeah.
Maybe all three tenants are gone at the same time, which things like that happen.
Right?
And then what happens if home prices in California continue to rise and you can never afford to buy back in?
And they drop in the place that you purchased, right? So the idea being is, look, from a financial standpoint, and I've said that I have four children. I mean, I didn't grow up with much. I always thought to myself, I've got to build a wall around my family first. I got to take care of me and mine before I worry about getting ahead in the world. You
sure.
Build a wall around your family first. That's why you hear us talk about on the radio show, buy some
like
term
good,
life insurance.
Sounds like you've done a good job. You've got a home with not that big of a mortgage relative to the value of the house.
You know, you work hard. It's so we worry about me and mine. So we're not so much about getting rich or moving so far forward in life, which we hope everyone does. But you got to take care of those kids and your wife. I mean, that's the most important thing. And the reach to buy a house and to sell the one that, or to buy an apartment to sell what you have, it's just the risk return ratio just seems too great to me. You put all that at risk. So,
let me just continue. The best investment is in your career.
Yourself.
So like your wife's going to school now.
Great idea.
Great investment. No, very few people get wealthy off the financial markets or the real estate markets. Very few. It is extremely rare. And the ones that do, frankly, it's because they're experts at what
they're
doing.
They made it what they do.
Yeah, they made it what they do. They know how to buy right. They know how to get repairs done inexpensively. They know how to find the right tenants. I mean, they're really good at that. And we've seen a lot of other people in hopes. They're trying some new things, and it just is disaster. So I would to look to the financial markets or the real estate market to suddenly provide a big lifeline of dollars. It's just not really realistic.
If you made $200,000 a year, I might feel differently, but you don't.
It's probably not the answer you wanted to hear from us.
So appreciate the call.
Good luck to you. And you know, Ben,
I'm proud of him reaching out, though, thinking about it. You'll do fine. You'll do fine. Just be aware of the risks that associate. Everyone talks about the good things that can happen.
Well, we see all the time. And, obviously the stock market's gone through a little bump. And real estate prices have slowed quite a bit.
Oh, quite a bit.
If you look at the transaction numbers and stuff, so who knows what's going on. But we've certainly, if you look back 10 years and you watch what happened with people people who did moves like this before
the
recession, it was...
Oh, it didn't turn out well.
For many people in the real estate thing. You know, there's a... I was listening to some program on some radio station. It was on... They're teaching you how to trade. They invite you to some weekend to teach you how to trade options. So I'm listening to this. It's basically an infomercial. I'm listening to this thing thinking, how... I'm sitting there thinking, first of all, options are a zero-sum game.
Yes.
Right. So if you went out and bought, let's say, the Apple stock, long term, that stock will either reward you or not based upon how successful Apple is. Right?
That's buying stock. Yeah.
Over the long term.
Yes, you're owning a factor of production.
If you are using options, you're betting one thing, and if you buy an option or sell an option, someone else is on the other side of that transaction, taking the opposite bet. And then the house always gets cut a little, just like up at
I know.
In Las Vegas.
We learned that from watching the movie Trading Places.
Okay, right. But so I listen to these things, and it talks about how you can have all this financial security, and all you have to do is follow the trade
signals.
Buying
options.
You follow the trade. And I'm listening to this thing and thinking, how does this... I just like preying on people that want some... They'd like to have a... Maybe they don't like their job, and they don't have much in the way of finances, and I'm thinking... If you're thinking that that's going to be your answer to some sort of financial security
options,
it's not going to work out. Yeah. So.
No, it's a far, far away from financial security.
Yeah. All right. Let's continue on with calls. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join us. 1-888-2-HANSON. And we are talking with Jennifer. Jennifer, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi. It's great to speak with you guys.
Oh, good. Thank you for joining us, Jennifer. How can we help?
Yeah. My husband has a small business, and he has not started saving for retirement yet, which is kind of driving me nuts. And so we were looking into starting some kind of IRA or something, and we were kind of looking at simple versus SEP, and I was just curious your opinions on that.
Jennifer, do you work outside the home?
I do.
Okay. Do you have a 401k available to where you are?
Yes.
Are you maximizing the 401k?
I'm not maxed, but I'm at 15%.
Okay. And how much would you like to save on an annual basis?
I would like to get to the point where we're both maxing out.
What would you like to save for 2019?
I don't know. Maybe I need some guidance on that.
Okay, so you're pretty close. Okay. You're pretty close to maxing out at 15%.
Yeah, I think I'm at like 12 annually, I think.
Oh, got it. You got some room still.
What's your ballpark annual income, Jennifer?
I'm at about 81.
And your husband's small business, does he have employees?
He does. He has, it varies between 5 to 15.
Okay. And how much does he make?
That is actually really hard to tell
because
he was giving some advice at some point in time when I wasn't really involved, and now I'm trying to get involved, to spend everything he made so that we wouldn't have to pay taxes on anything.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're trying to get away from that.
It's a deduction. It's a write-off.
Just write it off.
Just write it off.
Right.
Oh, yeah. How's that coming along? Is he kind of embracing that concept?
He is. We also got a new individual that does our taxes, and
good.
We may have ganged up on him a little bit, and now he's kind of seeing the light.
So here's the so. And how old are you, Jennifer?
I'm 33.
Okay, so you can save up to for 2019. The 401k limits have increased to $19,000. So. Mm-hmm. Right now, I mean, you can increase your contributions into your 401k quite a bit.
Right.
First.
But some plans have percentage max on them. That's not as common as they used to be. But
secondly, your husband can contribute $6,000 to an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
I would do those two things before I looked at any sort of company plan, because the problem with a company plan, I mean, I shouldn't say problem, but you need to include all the employees. Now, if that's something you want to do, think it's good for the company.
I doubt that she's in that position due to the fact that the company
Right
now makes no money. So what you're going to do is put the money in for his IRA. What about a non-deductible IRA for Jennifer?
Well, that's another option as well. Or a Roth.
We went and we did talk to somebody, and what they recommended was that we do a simple IRA because then he could match his own in addition.
No.
But
there's rules.
Here's what I like. Simplicity, right? Let's keep things simple. What do we already have available to us now that we're not taking advantage of? Right now, you have room in your 401k.
That's number one.
That's number one.
That's a three-minute function. Human resources, go online, boom.
But now if you say, no, I want something in my husband's name, or my husband says, no, I need something in my name, fine.
But it's community property. It's both your names.
Well, she's in Missouri, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't think Missouri is a community property state. I don't know, actually. But he can do an IRA, up to $6,000 in an IRA before he has to worry about anything. Now, once you get to the point where you're maximizing your 401k, he's putting in the max to the IRA, and then you want to do more, it might make more sense to look at a Roth IRA for yourself prior to some other plan. And then if once we're going to look at plans,
then it involves the employees and contributions to the employees
and record keeping
and the whole bit. So don't want to dig into that yet. Do the easy first.
Okay.
Do the easy first, right?
Okay.
So the simplest thing is to max do an IRA for him. You could put into $6,000. It doesn't impact your paycheck. You can tell him, hey, look, Bubba, you need to come up with some money to put into your IRA, $6,000. You've got until, gotcha. Matter of fact, you've got until April 15th. You can put in $5,500 for 2018.
That's correct.
You can put in $6,000 up until April 15th of next year for 2019.
Yeah, and I think the best thing in this whole conversation was the fact that you're getting him to change his view of how the business makes money. Because,
absolutely.
We've seen enough people, they spend years at a business that makes no money, and they get to down the road and they're like, how come I don't have any financial security?
And the issue is if expenses will chew up profitability in a business if they're not well monitored.
Right.
It will absolutely chew it up, right? You shouldn't be driving around in a work truck that's a Cadillac Escalade, right? You should be
right.
The Raptor, right?
$100,000 pickup truck with all the goodies.
Yeah, that's not a work truck.
I don't know if they're that much, but they're getting close, I think. Yeah. All right, good luck, Jennifer.
I have one more quick question.
Oh, fire away.
Do you have an opinion on being LLC versus S Corp?
Yeah. Follow your get a good legal counsel and follow their advice.
Yes.
We have both.
Okay.
LLCs tend to be the structure of choice these days. They tend to be easiest to, and some states have taxes on one versus the other, or have a certain fee on one versus the other. So every state's a little different there. How's your husband's business structured now?
Currently, it's an LLC. We talked to the CPA about converting to an S Corp. He seemed to be concerned that we wouldn't be paying into Social Security, but I've been kind of listening to you guys, and I'm kind of wondering if Social Security is even going to be there.
Why it wouldn't really have an effect on your Social Security contributions, because that's based on income.
Yeah, and I think the reason that he was worried about that is because my husband had not been paying himself, but we have changed that as well.
Was he paying dividends to himself and not paying himself?
Or it wasn't making any money.
He just wasn't making any money.
Yeah.
I don't know
he
if that would make a... Anyway, take your advisor's counsel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most important thing is that the business makes a profit.
Yes.
Really,
right.
Truly. And there's some nuances between S Corp and LLC. They both provide some protection, you know, kind of the corporate shell protection. And they both are pass-through entities, meaning that all the income flows directly, or if they're assuming there is income, directly to the taxpayer. So there's not a double taxation as you'd have in a C Corp. So either one,
right.
I think, is probably going to
be fine.
Appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right, Jennifer.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. And she went to talk to some financial advisor. You'll find that when someone calls and asks a question here, they call and ask us a question. We usually probe a bit.
Ask questions, yes, because we don't know their situation.
So if someone said, Scott, I have a small business. What's the best kind of retirement plan? Oh, simple IRA. I mean, my.
Well, depends.
Right? When you start probing, it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense to do that until these other things are taken.
Do the simple first.
Yeah. So here it is. It's the beginning of 2019, right? What are some things to be focused on? And we'll take some more calls here shortly right after the break. What are some things to be focusing on this year? First, if you're not already maximizing your retirement plans through your employer, increase your contributions. If you could hit the max, great. But if you're not there, increase it. If you're saving 10%, bump it to 12. If you're at 12,
bump it to 14.
14. Just do some sort of increase.
Move it up.
It's never, there's always competing needs. There's never a good time to save more.
That's correct.
There's always something coming up. The car always needs new tires. The kids need new shoes, whatever. There's just...
Someone needs braces.
There's always something. Got to go visit the in-laws, all that stuff. That stuff's going to happen regardless.
You'll spend what you... If you're the average American, you will spend what you take...
95% of Americans.
You will spend what you take home. So get it before it comes home.
So save that. If you don't have a 401k available to your at work or 457 or one of those plans, and neither does your spouse, set up an IRA and have a monthly contribution go into it. Have it sucked out of your checking book each month so it happens automatically. Studies have shown that those that have forced savings end up saving more. So if you don't have that corporate plan available to you, set up an IRA on a monthly basis. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue on with more calls and New Year's tips. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit HansonMcLean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
We are talking there. It's the first Saturday of 2019. Yes. Talking about some things to be setting up before.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2019. I remember the calls we had, Pat, years ago when it was Y2K.
Yeah.
We've been doing this show a long time.
The world was coming to an end.
19 years ago.
Yeah.
That is a,
you know, it's kind of wild. Having done this show as long as we've done it, you can almost see the beginning and ending of certain bubbles based upon the phone calls that come in.
Yes.
Right? I just remember all the real estate. Everyone had to have real estate, and then everyone had to get rid of real estate, and then everyone had to have stocks, and everyone had to get rid of their tech stocks. And that's a diverse... How do you protect against that? You diversified the portfolio.
Yes, and have a long-term perspective.
Yeah,
You
diversify the portfolio.
I don't care what company you work for. Things could change.
Things will change. And you're thinking,
Which is the other thing to be thinking about. If you're serious about having your financial life in order, some New Year's resolution type things, make sure you've got diversification.
You know, I saw,
and if you're not, that area that's not diversified, make sure you can afford to live without it. Because we've seen people, I don't care the couple, we've seen people, I've talked to people, they have most of their life savings is PG&E. That fell
Pacific Gas and Electric
70% because of the California fires in the last 2 years.
General Electric down 90% from its high.
GE, that was the largest company in the world at one period.
Read an opinion piece a couple weeks ago about why Facebook will die, and I thought this is brilliant. And they didn't say when it was going to die.
It will eventually,
but they said it will live past its prime. There will be something that replaces
of course
it.
All right, let's take some calls. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number to be part of the program here. And we are talking with Alan in Northern California. Alan, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello, Pat. Hi, Alan. Scott and Pat. I don't like to take anybody first because I've called you guys many times over past years you've been on.
Oh, you continue to call, which is refreshing.
Well, yeah, I called you when you were live and from New York, so to speak. Now I'm from Sacramento and call on a Saturday. So, but I understand this is a great, great methodology, and I'm on the 19 call. Happy New Year. And my question is this. I'm thinking I want to preload a tax liability. I had a very, very, very good year in 2018, more than I ever had before in my investments. So, sadly, that means I have to pay, good old Uncle Donald and Uncle Gavin. I guess we'll use them personally. And
personally.
So for the rest of the listeners in the United States, I think everyone knows who Donald is, but Gavin Newsom is new governor of the state of California.
Yeah, new governor. Anyway, yeah, we'll pay our tax officials. We'll say it that way. Got in it. Our beautiful state of California. So since I didn't get out of state fast enough earlier in the year, I have my 184 days or whatever into that. I can't do this. So So any event, I saw by preloading. So I went to the IRS side, FTB side. I looked all around, tried to do all my, I didn't call a tax professional. I didn't figure that hard. So I know I've done a calculator. I know what my liability on a fund. My only question is this. So these are all going to be short term. These were high leverage plays in ETFs. And did very, very well. So in any event, I didn't realize really the gain until this last quarter. I had some gains earlier in the quarter, let's say first or second quarter. The way I read it is that since, you know, I can never know for a fact if I had a gain or a loss until the end of the year as a premise. Does that sound right to you?
That's correct.
Okay, very good.
You mean a net gain or loss?
Until January 15th, my understanding is I have until January 15th to fund the tax liability, because what I want to avoid, of course, is being put on those ghastly quarterly estimates in 2019. I did that once, and I just didn't enjoy that. So if I load up enough tax now and pay here in 2018.
Actually, if your income is that much higher, you could just pay the previous year's tax liability and wait till April 15th to pay the big bill.
Yeah, so it's based on so if you don't know your income, the penalties don't kick in until they go back.
There is if your income's above a certain amount, though, you got to pay 110. But the cleanest way to do it is what you're trying to do. Let's figure out what it is. Send the IRS and the franchise tax board your estimated tax payment and
call it a day.
Right, then file my taxes, and I might get money back because I'll overpay them a little bit. Right.
But
very good.
You don't have to. But remember this: you're not required to pay quarterly taxes if you don't think you're going to have the income for that year.
Even if they say, "Why don't you start doing quarterlies?" If you don't have the income,
if you don't have the income for 2019, you're not. They can't make you pay taxes on something you don't think you're going
to
earn.
And to realize, correct. I understand why you do it for a business that has regular flow, regular cash flows, regular income, and make a profit.
But you still don't even have to do it for a business like that. It's either based on previous year's tax liability or this year's tax liability.
Okay, so last year's tax liability, that means the 17 year, that's right. I got the refunds. I didn't have any tax owing. I had refunds.
Oh, no, that's a refund. It has to do with what your tax liability was.
It has nothing to do with a refund. Yeah. All refund is an overpayment of a tax liability.
Okay, so if I had enough withheld.
What's your main question?
I had enough withheld in 2017.
Yeah, so what's your main question here? So you're going to figure out what you're going to ballpark what your taxes are going to send it in and by January 15th, and then...
I just want to be sure that I didn't misread from the IRS side, FTB, but mainly IRS side. And so, you know, as long as I prepaid this estimated tax, you know, for in 18, and I paid it before I thought January 15th of 2019, that I would be not in trouble and I wouldn't be subject
to
either one penalty. Penalty seemed to be April 15th.
You'll be fine.
You're fine.
You'll be fine.
All right. Very, very good. And then since I should, you know, I'm a stock fiend. I love that. And I'm very, I use things that I know you don't want to recommend. You shouldn't recommend.
Let me ask you a question on these gains. Were you long or short?
They're short terms.
Were they short plays or long plays?
Short. Yeah. We'll put it that way. My handle on my site is Swingman.
Got it.
I swing trade.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to say a longer term, I'm at the gym and I talked to this guy and I couldn't believe it. So I know you have lots of clients and stuff. So he laughs at residential real estate. He says the only way you go is commercial. So he, you know, buy a complex, $2 million, $3 million. Mm-hmm. And he tells me his net realized profits after that is usually 30%. He doesn't even want to get into something that doesn't bring you. Is that really realistic year over year?
It can be. It can't.
Not 30% year over year.
Oh, not year over year on a consistent basis.
No way.
It depends unless he's using tons and tons of leverage in there.
Okay.
And there's been great price appreciation.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen every year.
No.
Didn't happen through the crisis.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that. I thought, you know, so let's say he has a property that has 15, you know, different payers. I'm thinking, but you're going to have, you know, people that go out of business.
There's expenses associated.
Then you have tenant improvements.
That's just gym talk, Alan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good.
He's had one too many Red Bulls. Can't keep his mouth shut.
We wish you well, Alan. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
And actually, the real estate, commercial real estate, isn't that much different than residential real estate. It's just on a larger scale.
Can be a larger scale. They're not always necessarily larger scale. They're small commercial plays as well.
It can be. But the 30% isn't a consistent year over year. No way.
I know enough of guys that went bankrupt in the financial crisis, real estate holders.
Well,
real estate
investors. Don't count those years.
Well, you've got to count those years. That's the whole point. All right, let's talk with Dan. Dan, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning, gentlemen. Listened to your program for years. First-time caller.
Oh, great. Thanks for joining us today.
Let me question this. I'm 70 years old. My wife is 71. I'll give you the facts really quick. We have about $500,000 in the stock market. We take home about $3,000 in Social Security. We own two homes free and clear, one in Northern California, one in Palm Desert, California, worth the two of them about $800,000. I'm not happy with the stock market. I've lost quite a bit of money. You know, nothing unbelievable, but it's still dropping and it's up today. What do I do with that money? Do I take it all out? Do I take part of it out? Do I put some in the annuity?
Okay,
what
so
do
are,
I do?
Are you taking, are you spending, prior to your required minimum distributions for both you and your wife, have you?
We've been taking them. We've been taking them all along.
You've been taking income all along. How much income are you taking on an annual basis?
We're taking $36,000.
All right, so you're taking a 7% distribution on this $500,000.
Correct.
And do you have any money that's not invested in stocks? Do you have money in bonds or money market or treasury bills or CDs?
No.
You're 100% stocks.
Correct.
Oh.
About 60% aggressive, 40% kind of middle of the road.
You mean, when you say middle of the road, you mean stocks or bonds or?
Stocks are not as aggressive.
You've got 100% of your portfolio in stocks.
Correct.
Okay, that's the problem. It's not an all or nothing.
Okay.
Your portfolio is too aggressive. So think of it this way. Think of it this way, Dan. If you took this portfolio, this $500,000, and you took 50% of it and you put it in stocks, both international and domestic, in a well-balanced portfolio of stocks, and then you put 50% in bonds or cash or traded REITs, non-stock, you are taking out $36,000 a year, 7% distributions. So if I took $250,000 and I put it in that allocation, I would have over 7 years of distributions available to ride out any market cycle.
Okay.
So you wouldn't have to sell stocks in order to generate your monthly income.
Correct. And then a year ago, what happens is your monthly, if we were managing your money and you came in with 100% equity, we would just kind of shake our heads and say,
unless you weren't taking any income and you said, I don't plan on ever spending these dollars, they're going to go to my kids or grandkids or whatever.
Right.
You didn't need it and you weren't bothered by the risk. But you are. Right. So it's not an all or nothing.
And the risk here, here's how I view it. It's the risk is that the markets continue to decline and you are continuing to sell stocks in a declining market to fund your lifestyle. And funding your lifestyle is important because you're 70 and 71. I assume you're still in reasonably good health. You're going back and forth. You've got two homes.
We are.
At some point
to 100.
Well, if you're going to live to 100, then your distribution is probably a little high on this, or you might not be able to afford two homes down the road.
I'm kidding. Yeah, I have two homes. So even if I run out of money at that 500, I have two homes that are worth $800,000 to $900,000.
But I wouldn't expect that you would run out of money. What we're trying to do is to manage this around your investor behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so you're worried about a portfolio that's 100% stocks. Well, you should. It's not an appropriate portfolio for you. And what happens in an up market, you would have sold the stock off a year ago, year and a half ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You would have been selling stock and keeping the bond at 50-50. And then in a down market, you sell the bond off and keep the portfolio at 50-50. So the goal is to sell the thing that actually is doing the best.
Okay.
Not
okay.
The other way around.
Now, my WF advisor, he thinks I should take $250 out and put it in an annuity.
He's an idiot.
I agree.
He's an absolute idiot. He's an idiot. Now, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why he's an idiot. What do you think is in that annuity? What do you think is the money behind it?
I have no idea.
It's bonds.
Okay.
It's bonds. Well, the insurance company doesn't push it into a magic box and shake it around. They invest the dollars. And if it's a fixed annuity, then they're buying bonds. So, but why do you need the insurance company? Why do we need another pig at the trough between you and your investment? And it's a Wells Fargo. I assume it's WF as Wells Fargo. That is just garbage. That's terrible advice.
Okay.
Not only that, you're not going to get the same kind of liquidity.
Yeah, and you're going to tie it up for years, and then the advisor gets this commission all up front, and everyone's, woo, let's go on a big trip. Look at me sell these annuities. It's not good for you.
3% fixed.
Are you kidding? Why can't you
withdraw $25,000 a year?
But that's still garbage. Why can't you just go out and buy something? If it's 3%, that is just garbage yields on that.
So you think what you mentioned is stocks and bonds is a better portfolio. 50.
You need to fire that guy.
Okay.
Or girl. No, I'm just saying this is straight out.
Well, I got to tell you, the fact that you are 100% equities now, I question what kind of advice you've been getting. If you've been getting advice or someone's just been appeasing to what you're doing, what you tell them to do.
Right.
Well, he seems like a smart guy. You're probably saying he's not.
No. He might be a smart guy.
I've just let him do what he thinks is best for me. That's the honest to God truth. Because I'm not very good at stocks and bonds. I'm not very good at understanding.
That's fine.
How they work,
yeah. Nor should you. You have to be. And that's why you hire somebody.
But you go from 100% equities to 50% equities and 50% in an annuity.
You still can't draw upon that to meet your income needs. You'll still be forced to sell stocks every year. So you can take out $25,000 a year, he says.
It's just,
right.
But you need $36,000 a year. So where's the other $11,000 you're going to be selling stocks?
The $11,000 would have to come out of the stocks, exactly.
Yeah, but you don't need to do that for a 3% yield on an annuity. You just need some decent advice where, say, look, hey, these portfolios are going to move around a little bit, man. They're going to – even the bond portfolio is going to move around some. Yeah, the equity portfolio. But you don't go from 100% stocks to 50% stocks and then a big old fat commission annuity in there. It's just – it's wrong. Okay. It's just wrong.
Hey, that's why I call the experts.
Okay. Well, listen, I don't have a dog in this fight, but I'm angry. Because I saw it happen. I saw it happen to one of my clients. The guy came into my office. He had this big portfolio. And it was stuffed with this on the side, an annuity. And I'm like, this is just a little juice. The advisor wanted to make some more money on it. Wasn't in the best interest of the client. 3%.
I got it. And I already take 1.25% to manage my portfolio.
If the 3% came with 100% liquidity,
maybe.
Then it wouldn't.
Insurance,
a guaranteed income contract,
maybe.
At 3% for some portion, not for 50% of your portfolio.
Yeah.
So, but not locking it up for 3 years.
You got it.
All right.
Gentlemen,
thank you so much.
You made my day.
All right. Good. Sure. Thank you, Dan.
Well, you didn't make mine. You made me angry.
I can tell.
Yeah. Look, the people deserve better than that.
Yeah. You know, Pat, investing doesn't need to be that complicated, right? And I think what's really important is that you think about your portfolio to not just when the times are good, but how it's going to react when times are rough. And so
things are bad.
Yeah. So now we go through a period when the stock market is going through some turbulence, and investors, either they're questioning if they had the right strategy to begin with, or they didn't have a strategy.
They
to
were
begin
just
with.
Investing.
Just investing.
With no sort of thesis around their portfolio.
And it really comes down to your portfolio should be constructed based upon a couple of things. And one is, when will you need that money back? So if you have, let's say, $100,000 you want to invest somewhere and you need the money next week because you're closing an escrow.
Then the appropriate place for that is in a cash account.
Obviously not the stock market, right?
But if you don't need the money for 20, 30, 40 years, and some people say, well, I'm going to retire in 10 years or 5 years. Doesn't mean you're going to need all the money the day you retire.
No, and not, you won't at all. But when you're at a point when you're now taking some income, you've saved all these years, right? You've put the money aside. Now you're at a point you're taking some of the income to help fund your lifestyle. Well, so you're actually needing some of those dollars. So what's important is look at it and say, how much are you needing to withdraw on an annual basis? And make sure you've got enough money set aside out of risky assets to fund that so that whatever happens, if the markets go down or up, you've got plenty of time to let them recover before you have to sell.
Through a market cycle.
No one wants to sell when things are down.
No.
Well, people do because...
Because they're actually... The biggest danger to a well-constructed portfolio is not the portfolio
or the economy.
It's the
investor.
It's the investor. And even 100%. Your investment advisor actually has emotions around the investments.
The biggest danger, it's no question about it. Look, and
it's investor behavior.
We've been doing this program for 23 years. We've seen lots of market cycles over 23 years. Right?
Yes.
I mean, so if you think during the 90s, we had, remember the currency crisis? Asian currency meltdown and all that?
Occurred. With the, what was the name of that?
Before that was the Mexican peso crisis. Yeah, that was a few years before
that.
What was
that name of that?
LTV.
Yeah, long-term capital.
Was that long-term capital?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was a while ago.
A long time ago.
But that caused the markets, I remember there's a 500-point sell-off one day. That was when 500 points meant a lot.
Yeah, it was something.
Yeah. Then, of course, we had the tech bubble. That blew up, fell apart. We had 9/11.
Yep.
We had, of course, the financial crisis that we went through.
All of those things.
But yet we still saw, over time...
A well-diversified portfolio. Diversified. So you've got to remember, there's two emotions that we have when we're investing. We all display, I don't care who you are, it's fear and it's greed. It's fear and it's greed. And what is a good investor, you'll actually check those emotions and try to get as logical as you possibly can around your investments. Because fear and greed will cause you to do strange things with your money that isn't necessarily good for you.
Like buying and the greed, maybe it's buying some stock you don't know much about.
Because
overweighting
it has gone
somewhere,
up.
Not diversifying.
All those
things. You know in your heart, well, maybe not the right thing to do, but it just.
And you'll tell yourself, well, it's doing this.
And then you will make bad choices on the other side out of fear. Yeah. When markets are down,
do exactly the opposite of the thing you should do. In both situations, fear and greed will drive those decision making. Yeah.
So, look, if you're getting close to retirement, or maybe you've just retired in the last year or so, or you're a few years out, I really want to encourage you to come to one of our workshops. We do a variety of these educational workshops. Look, we're a highly educational based firm. Right? We've been doing this radio program for years.
Go to our website and you'll see.
Yeah, but we want people to have the knowledge so they make wise choices. So we've got our 7 personal decision point workshops. Here coming up in just a few weeks. And if you are 3-4 years from retirement, even 5 years from retirement, or maybe you've recently retired or retired in the last couple of years, we're going to go through all those things that you need to think about. We'll spend some time on the investment portfolio, but we'll also spend time on figuring out what's the right kind of income to be looking at from your portfolio.
When to take Social Security.
All those issues. And so these are 7 personal decision point workshops for the Sacramento region. They'll be the week of January 22nd through January 26th. And we've got them in Sacramento, Auburn, Elk Grove, Roseville, and Rancho Cordova. So 5 different locations in the Sacramento region. And the Denver region, That same week as well, 22nd through 26th. We've got them in the Denver Tech Center, Broomfield, West Lakewood, and Highlands Ranch. So four different areas in the Denver region. And in the Bay Area, we'll be doing these workshops the week of January 29th through February 2nd in Pleasanton, Petaluma, Concord, and San Mateo. So all those different locations. They are in the evenings at 6:45 p.m., and the Saturday one is at 11:15. But for full details on this, just go to our website, hansonmclain.com, and you can get the information on the various city.
Seven personal decision points.
You end to register. And they do fill up. You know, I know a lot of marketing people like to say that, but honest to goodness, there are times we shut registration down because we get 5,000 people have come to our educational workshops.
Yeah, and we only have so much room.
And they're free. We don't charge anything.
Yeah.
So,
and we provide beverages. That's because that's how we are.
What do you mean beverages?
Like you could get a Coke or a...
There's no dinner.
Yeah, you
can get
a Coke.
We're not buying a steak dinner. Because we're not trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
So if we're trying to sell you something...
We'd have it out at some fancy steak restaurants. I get those invitations all the time to the fancy steak restaurants. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
All the time.
Well, I don't know about all the time.
I get them quite often. And anyway. We love them.
You don't go to those.
I don't go to them. I can't even imagine.
It's like you don't go to a timeshare pitch either.
No.
I did once by accident.
Did you?
Oh, I never done it. I was somewhere, and I was in Mexico, which isn't my favorite place to vacation anyway. And at the airport, I thought I was signing up for a fishing trip.
Oh, did you?
But it was through the timeshare company.
How old were you? You were young.
No, this was like a year or two ago. Right?
Really? You thought you were going fishing?
Yes. I'm seriously. My wife's like, what's wrong with you? You're so much smarter than this. And I thought, you know, I've never actually sat through a timeshare thing.
Did you sit through one?
Yes.
And what did you think? Hard sales tactic. You went just for the experience.
I was yelling at the guy at the end because I got in the guy's face. He said, you are being abusive. Because they were being abusive at this point. And I thought, you know, I understand this stuff pretty well. This is my livelihood. I know how to run the numbers
so
in my head.
So you sat through the whole workshop. I've never heard this story.
I was down in Cabo.
That's interesting. So
I'm thinking, I don't even think I want to come back here, let alone be an owner in this place.
You obviously did not buy the timeshare.
No, I've never bought a timeshare. They're horrible investments.
They are
terrible investments. Don't ever buy a timeshare. They never make sense. Maybe every once in a while they make sense. By and large, they are terrible investments, and people get stuck with
okay.
them. Okay. And unfortunately, we're out of time. We did talk about some of the things to go for the New Year's. We also have some articles on our website, for some kind of New Year's plan, so make sure you visit those at hansonmclain.com. But we're here every Saturday from 10 to 11. You can also get a podcast of this, as many people listen to it via podcast now. So enjoy the rest of your weekend. Happy New Year. We'll see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.